Will the House come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
33 members present.
We have a quorum present to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The members who are excused from the call of the House are Representatives Phillips and Swackhammer.
Our chaplain today is Pastor Lee Rooker of the Northern Lights United Church. Will the members please rise for the invocation?
Shall we pray? Almighty Creator, author of justice and truth, we begin our day by looking to you. As we search the depths of your mercy, we are reminded of the foolishness of our estimations of power. Before you, we are equals in shame as in dignity. May we also be one in service, working to seek your will in our lives. Bless this body of men and women today by your presence. May their deliberations be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Representative Zawacki and the second grade from Capitol Schools, would you assist the House in leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
I'll leave that with you.
Representative Martin.
So, Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to prayer be spread on the journal.
Are there any objections as to having the prayer spread upon the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I see also that Representative Herman is excused until playing time, and Representative Cato is ill, and I ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the following members are also excused from the call of the House. Would the clerk at this time please certify the journal for the 10th and the 11th legislative day?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 10th and 11th days in Senate House Joint Journal Supplement Number 3.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 10th and 11th legislative days and the Senate House Joint Supplement Number 3 be approved as certified.
Are there any objections as to the correctness of the journals or the supplement? Hearing no objections, the journal and supplement stand approved. Do we have any guests for introduction today? Representative Gull.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have three guests I'd like to introduce, if I could. In the front row of Gallery A is Bob Henderson, Borough Mayor of Haines. And in the back row, we have the mayor and city manager of Thorn Bay. And if they'd all rise and be recognized, I'd like to welcome them at this time.
Thank you. Representative Davidson.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I would like to introduce our good neighbors from across the street. And part of the bright future of our Alaska, the second graders, of Capitol School. I would also like to introduce, Mr. Speaker, their fine teachers, Ms. Jan Rice and Joyce Wright, and student teacher, Chris Simpson.
Thank you. Representative Sund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce a friend of mine and Representative Taylor's from Petersburg visiting with us today, member of the Southeast Conference and up on the Resource Development Council, Karen Hofstad.
Representative Rieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Along with Karen Hofstad, it's my pleasure to introduce a number of other members of the Resource Development Council Board of Directors, Lyle Van Bargen, Steve Renberg and M.A. Higgins. Also, Representative Pettijohn and myself have a constituent in Gallery A who is also the president of the Resource Development Council, Bo Brownfield. And finally, The Deputy Director of the Resource Development Council, Becky Gay, and a close personal friend of mine, also with the Resource Development Council, Mike Abbott.
Any further guests for introduction? Messages from the Governor.
Dear Representative Grusendorf, I have read the following resolution and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. House Resolution Number 1, establishing a House Special Committee on Telecommunications. House Resolve Number 1. Dear Representative Grusendorf, in accordance with AS 1440-150, I submit the following names for legislative confirmation of appointment to the University of Alaska Board of Regents. Helmerichs Mark H., Sackett John C., Stiffham Susan A. Resumes for these appointees will be submitted to the 15th Alaska State Legislature through the clerks of both houses, respectfully. Signed sincerely, Steve Cooper, Governor.
That message from the Governor will be referred to the Hess Committee for consideration.
I have no further messages from the Senate, from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any messages from the Senate?
The Senate approved the following citations and they are transmitted to enrolling. Honoring the Bartlett High School Bears girls track and field team state champions. Honoring the Bartlett High School Bears boys track and field team state champions. Honoring Nina Bowen, 1986 Rhodes Scholarship recipient. In memoriam, Albro Bagley Gregory, and honoring Thane Curry. And honoring the Juno Senior League All-Star Baseball Team All-State Champions. And the Senate approved the following citations, and they are transmitted to LAA. Happy birthday to Senator Mitch Abood, and happy birthday to Representative H.A. Red Boucher, and honoring Sigmund H. Restad. Mr. Speaker, the citation honoring the Juno Senior League All-Star Baseball Team was for consideration.
Those citations that were sent for our consideration will be referred to the Rules Committee for calendaring.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any other communications that should come before our body?
We've received the Alaska Local Boundary Commission report to the first session of the 15th Legislature. It has been placed on each member's desk.
Okay, that'll be referred to the CRA Committee, Community and Regional Affairs.
We've also received the Rail Belt Energy Council report and its recommendations to the legislature. And that report has been placed on each member's desk. And we've received the Joint Special Committee on Mental Health Trust Lands report, final report, and that's also been placed on each member's desk. We've received the annual report on the Reforestation Fund to the legislature, and this report is on file in the Speaker's office. And we've also received the determinations from the Department of Natural Resources on the royalty and value for certain royalties from production in the Prudhoe Bay, Cooperick River, and Mill Point units on the North Slope, as well as from Granite Point and Middle Ground Shoal Fields and the MacArthur River and Trading Bay units in Cook Inlet. And this has been placed in each member's file. Dear Representative Grusendorf, we're transmitting the annual report on non-permanent employment, and that's from the Department of Administration. We've also received a report from the Department of Natural Resources on the State Land Classification and Land Disposal Bank, and from the Citizens Advisory Commission on Federal Areas 1986 Annual Report. These reports are on file in the Speaker's office. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any reports from the standing committees?
The Hess Committee has considered Executive Order 63, transferring the Alaska Historical Commission from the Department of Education to the Department of Natural Resources, and it's been approved by the following members. Ellis, co-chair, Kopanen, co-chair, Hudson, Grunberg, Hanley, Phillips, and Donnelly. And it was signed by the co-chairs, Kopanen and Ellis. Executive Order 63 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered Executive Order 67, transferring responsibility for the alcohol, breath, and blood testing program from the Department of Health and Social Services to the Department of Public Safety, and approval is recommended. The report was signed by the co-chairs, Ellis and Kopanen. Signing approval, Ellis, Hudson, Grunberg, Hanley, Phillips, Kopanen, and Donnelly. Executive Order 67 has a further referral to the State Affairs Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 24, Remission After Forfeiture of Bail, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 24, Judiciary, with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Sund Chairman, signing do pass, Sund, Omer, Grunberg, Navarre, and Cotton. Barnes has no recommendation. House Bill 24 has no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 29, a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development for distribution to qualified regional aquaculture associations, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman, signing do pass, Ellis, Kopanen, Boucher, Davidson, Donnelly, Menard, and Furness. House Bill 29 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. The HES Committee has considered House Bill 53, penalties for violation of workplace safety laws, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 53 HES with the same title, recommends do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by the co-chairs Ellis and Kopanen. Signing do pass, Ellis, Kopanen, Donnelly, and Grunberg. Having no recommendation, Hanley, Phillips, and Hudson. House Bill 53 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us on the daily order of business to the introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Jeanette Ballard by Representatives Taylor and Sund and Senator Jones. Citation honoring Kiana High School Boys Basketball Team Division A1 State Champions by Representative Adams and Senator Hensley. Honoring the Jesuits in Alaska 1887 through 1987, Representative Martin. Honoring Myron Angstman, 1987 John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon winner, by Representative Hoffman. Citation honoring Rick Mackey, 1987 Kuskokwim 300 champion, by Representative Hoffman. I have no further citations, Mr. Speaker.
Those citations will be sent to the Rules Committee for consideration and calendaring.
House Joint Resolution Number 10 by Miller, Boyer, Frank, and Schultz, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to income from the Permanent Fund.
Three standing committees, State Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance.
House Joint Resolution 11 by Adams, relating to transportation of mail to mainline and bush communities in Alaska.
Transportation Committee.
House Joint Resolution 12 by Rieger, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the use and expenditure of state money.
Judiciary and the Finance Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference to House bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 20 by Larson and Menard, an act establishing a state sales tax.
Community and Regional Affairs and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 82 by Schultz, an act relating to certain reports and records concerning game animals.
Resources Committee and Judiciary.
House Bill 83 with a governor's transmittal letter and 2-0 fiscal notes by the Rules Committee by request of the governor. An act relating to computation and payment of permanent fund dividends and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 84 by the Rules Committee by request of the governor. An act amending appropriations pertaining to permanent fund dividends and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 85 with a governor's transmittal letter and a fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the governor. An act relating to reporting of unclaimed intangible property and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary Committee and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 86 with a governor's transmittal letter and 2-0 fiscal notes by the Rules Committee by request of the governor. An act relating to the definition of veteran for purposes of veterans' employment preference rights.
State Affairs, Judiciary, and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 87 with a governor's transmittal letter and a 0 fiscal note with analysis by the Rules Committee by request of the governor. An act relating to the authority of the Commissioner of Natural Resources over shell eggs and providing for an effective date.
Resources Committee.
House Bill 88 with a governor's letter and a 0 fiscal note with analysis by the Rules Committee by request of the governor. An act relating to private causes of action by businesses under the Alaska Unfair Trade Practices and Consumer Protection Act and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce and the Judiciary Committee.
House Bill 89 with governor's transmittal letter by the Rules Committee by request of the governor. An act making a special appropriation for disaster relief and providing for an effective date.
Finance Committee.
House Bill 90 with a governor's letter and a 0 fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the governor. An act relating to time periods to be used for administering the tax equalization program and the municipal assistance program and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 91 by Porchot by request of the Joint Special Committee on Mental Health Trust Land, an act relating to the chronically mentally ill.
HES Committee and Finance.
House Bill 92 by Porchot by request of the Joint Special Committee on Mental Health Trust Land, an act implementing a settlement relating to the federally created mental health trust and providing for an effective date.
Hess and Finance.
House Bill 93 by Cotton, Porchot, and Rieger, an act establishing a system of recreation rivers and providing for an effective date.
Resources and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 94 by Taylor, an act relating to boat numbering, accidents, and safety, and providing for an effective date.
Transportation, Judiciary, and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 95 by Taylor, an act authorizing certain municipalities to conduct limited historic gambling enterprises and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, Community and Regional Affairs, and also Finance Committee.
House Bill 96 by Miller, an act relating to kindergarten programs and compulsory education and providing for an effective date.
The Hess Committee and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar. We have some citations on that calendar that we must consider. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have two citations on the daily calendar. The first honoring Rodney J. Rhodes. The second honoring Christine Jockish and Madeline A. Stella. I move the citations.
Are there any objections as to the adoption of the citations on today's calendar? Hearing no objections, the citations stand approved. This brings us down to unfinished business. Any unfinished business to come before this body? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have the following requests for excused absences in the future. First, Representative Larson, from after session Wednesday, February 25, to plain time Monday, March 2. By the way, in the future, it'll be plain time until plain time unless I otherwise indicate. It's always plain time. Second, for Representative Pettyjohn on the following dates. 4 p.m. Thursday, February 12, to Monday, February 16. Second, Friday, February 27 at 4 p.m. to Monday, March 2. Next, all these are for Representative Pettyjohn. Thursday, March 19 at 4 p.m. to Monday, March 23. Next, for Representative Pettyjohn, April 2 at 4 p.m. to Monday, April 6. Next, for Representative Pettyjohn, Thursday, April 16 at 4 p.m. to Monday, April 20. Next, for Representative Pettyjohn, Friday, April 24 at 4 p.m. to Monday, April 27. And additionally, for Representative Pettyjohn, Friday, May 8 at 4 p.m. to Monday, May 11. Next, for Representative Collins, from 4:30 Friday, February 6, to Tuesday, February 10. Next, for Representative Frank, Friday, February 13 at 8 a.m. to Monday, February 16. Move and ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the members that had asked to be excused from the call of the House are excused. Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we move back up the calendar to introduction of guests, please?
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, I would like to introduce three people. First of all, I believe most of the people here know Phil Hallsworth. These people are with the RDC, Resource Development Council, and Rex Bishop. Let Heather stand, please. And the third person, constituent and friend of mine, and all the people have heard the name before, but this is Joe Usabelli, Jr. And as these people are going around, I would appreciate if you'd spend some time with you because they have some good ideas for the state.
Any further guests for introduction? Back, Representative Boyer.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd also like to introduce Dorothy Jones from the Matt Sue.
Any last call for guests for introduction? Unfinished business. Any further unfinished business? Announcements of standing committees or special committees. I would like, after the floor session here, for the Committee on Committees to meet in the Speaker's chambers. The membership of that is Representative Adams, Representative Boucher, Representative Cotton, and Representative Martin, immediately after adjournment. Any further committee announcements? General announcements? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to announce that the Rail Belt Democrats will be having a brown bag luncheon meeting in the Labor and Commerce meeting in Labor and Commerce room today at noon.
Okay, Representative Davis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to make a general announcement, if I could. Mr. Speaker, last weekend I went to see a new movie that just came out, Alaskans at War. And I highly recommend the movie. It'll be playing also this weekend at the New Orpheum Theater. It's a benefit for Alaska Performing Artists for Peace. It'll be playing at 2:30 and 4 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Thank you.
Any further announcements? This brings us down to special orders. Any special orders to come before this body? Representative Boucher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the privilege of the floor to speak briefly on Alaska Hire.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. colleagues, as you're well aware, the subject of resident hire or Alaska Hire has been much discussed over the past 2 years. I recall when I was a freshman in this body several years ago, I introduced two pieces of legislation at that time. They were called House Bill 294 and 295. We managed to get 38 sponsors on it. In fact, I went up to the third floor at that particular time, and they felt that this particular issue was something that had gone out with Button Shoes, Bill Egan, and Red Boucher. So people were more than willing to give the old man 38 signatures on that particular issue. There was little trouble in passing the bill through. Everybody was for it. It was a motherhood issue. But nobody had clearly defined it. And I was looking back through about roughly 15 years of history. I recall the time that I was on that particular task force for Governor Egan, during the height of the oil pipeline construction, and he said, "Well, I don't care. Let's just go for it." And obviously, we went for the beginning of the Alaska Hire Bill in what might be called the modern day age of Alaska. But the hiring of Alaskans has been of deep concern to all of us across the state, because Alaska Hire to some mean one thing, and resident hire means something to someone else. Truly, it has never really been an issue that the collective Alaskan community has agreed on. For example, as we screen for jobs in one area of Alaska, I've noticed my rural brothers and sisters look straight forward and say, "Well, you know, what's the matter with us?" Because employment to us in Kotzebue, the person coming from a larger community within Alaska is just as much a job taker away as the guy flying over our head to Prudhoe Bay from Oklahoma. And so clearly the problem within the state of Alaska was different. And I think we've really, in our emotionalism and in the politics of the moment, and it goes up and down, during the boom we were glad to get labor in. Obviously now, seeing people out of work and in many instances replaced by people from other areas, it becomes a very passionate and emotional issue. But and there was considerable debate last year. I have never stated that Red Boucher had the right answer to anything, but in any approach that I've gone on, there are two ways to do things. Attempt to do the right thing and attempt to do things right. So the approach that I took to it last year is all of a sudden there became a lot of interest in this old man's issue. I tried to continue to do the right thing. And thanks to the help of Dave Donnelly and Max Gruenberg, we tried to fashion a piece of legislation. There was a support on the Senate side, which, for good or bad, created a certain amount of heat. In fact, I think more heat than light on the subject. But throughout it, my major concern was to respond to what the court has continuously told us. And once again, I don't know if it is the right answer, but I felt that we had to begin, and the court was telling us, to assemble a body of information that addressed what the court continually calls the peculiar evil that this presents to the state. I think we have made a step forward. This information is before you. I imagine one could pick one quotation out of it and get a headline in another direction. Another could pick another headline out of it, another quote, and get a headline in another direction. I think what we really need to come together is begin to think in terms, let's change the word if we might. Let's call it equal employment justice for Alaskans. It is no more fair for a welder to be replaced on the North Slope by someone from another area of the state, but it's also equally unfair to see a young graduating teacher within our school system replaced by somebody who just came in from New York. Obviously, the highest bucks usually get the heat, but I would like to commend all of the members of this body who worked hard on this subject last year, those who worked hard to make it possible, and let's go forward with the goal of equal employment justice for all Alaskans. There is the opportunity to fund this again this year. I think this is the beginning. The report says it does not have all the answers, but and I frankly have just high-graded it, if you will, just read through and highlighted. But I would hope that be it this body or the other body, one side of the aisle or the other side of the aisle, that we will stop raising flags of false hope to our citizens and move forward in a determined way for equal employment justice for all Alaskans. And at this moment, I have always felt that the third floor can play the strongest role in the leadership. I recall very quietly when the pipeline appeared to be bogged down, we weren't moving any place. And obviously the oil industry was battling as to which oil company had reserves up on the North Slope, so the poor state was caught in a dilemma. So one evening I met with Governor Egan and then Attorney General Havelock and a few others, and the governor says, maybe we ought to just go ahead and build this pipeline ourselves. So I called a press conference. There were headlines out, and within 48 hours, there were jets landing from Dallas, from Tulsa, all over, and says, well, the governor, maybe we ought to talk about this. So I think the same psychology, the executive and the legislative branch can take this as a beginning. Maybe it isn't the right answer, and move forward toward equal employment justice for all Alaskans. Thank you for your indulgence and patience, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Porchot. I've
forgotten how this works. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed the privilege of the floor to speak on the issue of mental health lands.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to call the body's attention to the blue report on every member's desk entitled the Joint Special Committee on Mental Health Health Trust Lands Report. This report is the product of about 6 months of work of an interim committee that was created last year to look at our mental health lands trust problem. I'm pleased to say that we did come up with a unanimous recommendation from the committee, which included public members representing the litigants in the lawsuit. We have a proposal that's contained there that I would like to commend to the body. I think that when the facts of the problem are laid out in the various committees that the the bill that implements this report are laid out, that I hope you will agree that it is a satisfactory approach, a good approach, one that gets us out of severe legal problems, severe land problems, and ultimately better addresses the needs of our mentally ill people in the state of Alaska. Without taking a lot of the body's time, I do want to highlight, though, the nature of the proposal for settlement of the lawsuit that we are not currently engaged in. In 1956, there was a piece of federal legislation that authorized Alaska to select and to retain 1 million acres of state land for the primary purpose of a corpus or a trust from which all revenues derived would first be applied to meeting necessary expenses of the state's mental health programs. Those selections were made, and 1 million acres was identified. And in 1978, the legislature, in its wisdom, decided that because of a lot of other conflicting land uses and other needs for land, that the state would be better served by dissolving this 1 million acres in trust status, returning them to general grant lands, and in lieu thereof, appropriate each year 1.5% of all the revenues derived from state lands to meet mental health program needs. That was in 1978. No funds were ever appropriated to the fund. It's not surprising that a class action suit was filed against the state on behalf of mentally ill persons. In 1985, that suit culminated in the so-called Weiss decision before our Supreme Court, which basically stated the state had erred in its handling of mental health trust lands, that we were charged to reconstitute those mental health lands and to again affect a trust from which a stream of revenue would be diverted or gone to our mental health programs. Obviously, this task became one of the proverbial picking up spilled milk. The committee looked at, over the interim, many different possibilities for somehow putting lands back, reconstituting 1 million-acre trust. There are innumerable problems. Just to highlight some that are obvious, we have unencumbered lands of that 1 million acres. Only 207,000 acres are left. 286,000 acres have less than fee disposals, which include mining claims, less than fair market value leases. Another 368,000 of the 1 million are designated as parks, state wildlife refuges, state forests. An additional 43,000 acres has been conveyed or is awaiting conveyance to municipalities under the Municipal Entitlement Bill. And finally, 90,000 acres has just been sold to private interests. Trying to reconstitute that is a nightmare. Compensating for those lost lands would involve hundreds of millions of dollars, clearly an untenable position. The proposal that we have before us, that we are advocating, and it is incorporated in House Bill 92 that was read across today, would set up a dedicated stream of revenue from representing 5% annually of the state's general fund revenues, separate that out as a dedicated revenue stream from which the legislature would annually appropriate monies in its wisdom met the necessary needs of the mental health lands, mental health program. What we have done in essence then is to substitute 1 million-acre corpus for a dedicated revenue stream from which then revenues shall first be applied to meet necessary mental health needs, after which remaining funds would be could go for any other purpose the legislature deemed fit. This mimics the language of the original federal bill. And what we are trying to do, of course, is walk that thin line that allows us to follow the mandate of the 56 federal law, allows us to follow the mandate of the Weiss decision, Supreme Court decision in 85, and at the same time follow our constitutional prohibition against dedicated funds. This is not an exclusive dedication of funds. The funds are first to be used for mental health programs, but not exclusively for mental health programs. The downside of not doing this, I believe, and it was the belief of the full committee that looked at the matter, that we're really facing a disastrous land situation, continued costly, time-consuming litigation, and ultimately no resolution of the problem. If we were to to force the litigants back into court, we can assure you that we would probably be faced with a land freeze on at least all mental health land selections, which includes many municipal selections around our urban centers, and possibly a land freeze on all state land transactions, because in essence those would be the in-lieu lands if we were to reconstitute the trust. I think the implications to municipalities, to user groups, to our state park system, to our forest system, to third-party interests where a cloud may exist on the title are clearly immense, and we want to avoid them. I think for these reasons, Mr. Speaker, that I would urge the body to look at the findings in this report, and I and my staff and others involved in the interim committee would be happy to talk to people individually, and I would certainly encourage the body to move and to act on this legislation this session. Thank you.
Representative Hoffman.
I might ask the indulgence of the body if we could move back up to introduction of guests.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed, Representative.
I've been informed that Representative Vasquez is in Gallery A. I did not see him because of my seat, but I'd like to introduce Tony Vasca from the community of Kalskag.
Representative Vasca is a distinguished member of this body. Would you care to share a few thoughts with us? Any further guests, Representative Hoffman?
I request the body to speak on the invitation that we'd received from A and B under special orders.
Any objections? Proceed.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the A and B for the fine reception that we had last evening. Special thanks to the hosts. The Central Council of the Tlingit-Haida, Indian Tribes of Alaska, Sea Alaska Corporation, Gold Belt Corporation, the Tlingit-Haida Regional Housing Authority, the Tlingit-Haida Regional Electrical Authority, Southeast Alaska Regional Health Corporation, the Alaska Native Brotherhood, and the Alaska Native Sisterhood. Thank you.
Representative Rieger, you've been seeking the floor for a while.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request the special privilege of the floor to speak on state spending.
Are there any objections? Hearing none.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll make no secret, I'm looking for support for House Joint Resolution 12, but I do have a few words to say about state spending. Last year, the legislature passed a bill, which is the Budget Reserve Bill, and the idea behind that bill was to stabilize state spending. There was a lot of debate, but the idea was that once the legislature passed an operating budget and a capital budget and adjourned for the year, there'd be some certainty that for the remainder of that year, there'd be enough money to pay for what we had appropriated. And one of the problems that the state has had, at least during the big money years, in the last 6 years, is holding down state spending. That means that when revenues have increased, the spending has been right up there with it. And the same type of problem has been true when there's been a pool of money that's been within reach. Even if it's not necessarily revenue per se, there's a tendency for it to get spent. It's certainly at risk of being spent. Now, a major problem of the budget reserve bill that we passed last year, and those of you who were here remember the debate on the floor, was that it was only part of the necessary complete package. The other two elements, which have to go into that package before the whole budget reserve concept works, are a spending limit, a new spending limit, and constitutional protection for the budget reserve fund, to keep it out of reach until it is needed. And House Joint Resolution 12, which was introduced today, does complete that package. I'd like to point out that even if that resolution is passed this year, the constitutional amendment, which it entails, would be before the voters after the present balance in the Budget Reserve Fund is probably going to be drawn down to zero to balance the FY87 deficit. However, I notice that Governor Cooper has advocated new special appropriations to replenish the Budget Reserve Fund. And I also expect by the time this amendment is before the voters, that state spending would be at a more sustainable long-term level of spending, making the spending limit restrictions, which, by the way, tie each year's spending to what the previous year's spending was, more reasonable as well. I think that all of us, all people in the state, whether they're in government or in the private sector, have an interest in what's happened this last 6 years. They all know we're on the downside of a state spending spree, and what I think all of our interest is to not be set up again where the level of state spending, the level of state services is up at some unsustainable level and then have the rug yanked out from underneath it. I think that the constitutional protections which are offered in H.R. 12 are necessary improvements to the whole concept of a budget reserve fund. The resolution provides a meaningful spending limit, no more than plus 10%, minus 8% from year to year, and that is the first step in stable spending. The second thing is it provides constitutional protection to the fund itself. The fund can only be drawn out after there has been a significant drop in state revenues. And I would urge any co-sponsorship, and even if not, I'd like everyone to please at least look at the bill. Thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we briefly revert back to introduction of guests?
Any objections? Go ahead.
Yes, in Gallery B, Representative Menard and I have a constituent from the Valley. He's down here with the Alaska Municipal League, whom we also would like to thank for the fine reception last night. But our constituent, Gary Lewis.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Davis.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to request a brief at ease, very brief.
The House, please stand at ease. Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had been moved up the calendar to introduction of guests. Are there any further introduction of guests? Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, a friend of mine from Hope, he's on the Kenai Borough Assembly, Jim Skogstad.
Any further introductions? Back to introductions?
No.
Back to special orders. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move back up the calendar to unfinished business, please.
Are there any objections? Hearing none.
An additional request for excused absence for Representative Davis from 5 p.m. today, January 30, to plain time Monday, February 2nd. Move and ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, there. Individually excused from the call of the House. Special orders? Representative Springer?
Can we go back to announcements?
Any objections?
I've just been informed that Representative Cato is ill, and therefore the Transportation Committee meeting at 1:30 is canceled.
Thank you. Any further announcements? Back to special orders. Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask the privilege of addressing the body on the matter of privileged victim and counselor communications.
Are there any objections? Proceed.
Mr. Speaker, I come before you to request co-sponsorship of a bill that has been before this body in the past legislature. Oftentimes, we forget the victims in matters of crime, and I think that it is imperative that we do not forget victims of crime, and therefore would like to seek co-sponsorship on the bill that I offer, Privileged Victim and Counselor Communications. This bill seeks to ensure that designated victim counseling is legally privileged and not subject to defense discovery or subpoena. It would expand the confidentiality privilege to include victim counselors. Rather than just doctors, psychiatrists, and psychologists. The recommendation for this bill comes from the President's Task Force with the suggested drafting language from the American Bar Association Criminal Justice Section on Victim Witness Projects. I will be sending the bill to drafting for introduction on Friday today, and if you would please let me know, or my staff know, if you would like to be co-sponsor, I would thank you. Thank you.
Any further special orders? Before I seek a motion to adjourn, once again to remind the members of the Committee on Committees, there will be a meeting shortly after here. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the body stand in adjournment till 11 a.m. next Monday.
11 a.m. Monday.